Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, December 17th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, the international sensation, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Today is my last podcast for the year. Of course, we all know that next Monday is Christmas Eve and the following Monday is New Year's Eve. So I'm going to take a little well-deserved break, don't you know? I'll be back with a new podcast on the first Monday of the new year, January 7th. So today, I thought it would be cool to do something different and a little bit nutty. We could consider this our holiday party podcast. Instead of me answering a slew of questions like usual, I'm just going to go with the flow and have some fun. This week's podcast is brought to you by the good folks at EdenFantasies.com, a one place stop to shop for all your adult-related products. Of course, you'll find a full line of top-quality toys, implements, fetish kits, sexy lingerie, and the like. But that's not what makes them so damn special. Eden Fantasies is a retailer with a social conscience, and that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. You'll find everything you need to make intelligent choices when purchasing your products. The site is chock-full of tips for the consumer, practical user guides, toy reviews, and even a community blog. Look for the link to this amazing site right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Shopping at Eden Fantasies is not only fun and easy, but you can stay on top of what's new and receive a heads up on special deals and limited promotions by signing up for their monthly newsletter. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit EdenFantasies.com today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. I have this really great show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy. I'm looking to hear from you. Okay, on with the show. So me and some friends were sitting around shooting the shit, and we were all pretty well lubricated, if you catch my drift, when suddenly one of our gang decides it's time for word games. What is it with straight chicks and parlor games, particularly after hours of conspicuous consumption? The woman initiating the structured play suggested Pictionary. We all groaned with disgust. She is crestfallen and starts to pout. The evening begins to spiral into a bummer. I decide to come to the rescue. Hey, you guys, want to help me with my sex advice column? That sure enough gets their attention, don't you know? Listen up, I need your help. I'm running out of clever synonyms for a cock and a cunt. Let's do play a word game, but not Pictionary. How about if we all try to come up with a list of all the euphemisms we can think of for a penis and a vagina? Well, faster than you can say Dick and Jane, pens and pads of paper magically appear and we all go to work. You could almost smell the burning rubber as my well-lubricated friends' brains strained with the task. As their substance-induced haze begins to part, the words are scribbled on paper. Snickering and giggling soon become guffaws and belly laughs. Everyone's having a gay old time. In about 30 minutes, we have a respectable list. But before I reveal what we've come up with, I want to make some important observations. At least I think they're important. Some of the submissions were way too silly for inclusion on the list. I think that was caused by the copious amount of adult substances consumed. You know how folks get. A lot of the submissions were on a number of different people's lists. Some of the euphemisms were well-known, others really obscure. Some were culturally defined, others more cross-cultural. Some were funny and charming, others not so much. Some were sweet, others were downright mean-spirited. The list compiled by the women were considerably shorter than the list compiled by the men. There were way more synonyms for a penis than for a vagina. Women tended to have kinder euphemisms for their genitals. Men, on the other hand, had harsh and crude euphemisms often for a woman's genitals. I thought that was really interesting and very telling. The men also tended to have powerful synonyms for their genitals, while women tended toward cuter names for a guy's junk. I thought that was really interesting and very telling, too. So many of the allusions were food-related. That could tell us a lot about the popularity of oral sex, I suppose. Okay, so here are some of the highlights of our evening's work. For the penis, we have Admiral Winky, Captain Winky, Fun Gun, Gash Mallet, Tallywhacker, Tent Peg, Tent Pole, Baby Maker, Action Jackson, the AIDS Grenade. Ooh, that hurt. Anaconda, Bad Boy, Baloney Pony, one of my favorites, Banana, Battering Ram, ouch, Beef Stick, Handy Andy, Beaver Buster, Beaver Cleaver, The Bishop, The Chancellor, Thingamabob, Thingy, Third Leg, Thomas, I don't know that one, Glowworm, Bratwurst, Hardware, Caped Crusader, I guess for the uncut crowd, Cherry Picker, Godzilla, Happy Worm, Tiny Tim, aw, Sausage, Thunder Stick, Heat-Seeking Moisture Missile, Beefy McMahon Stick, Biggest Dickus, Coccus Erectus, Dickus Maximus, Venius Maximus, Elvis, I'm not sure about that one, Giggle Stick, Hairy Snake, Trouser Snake, Ham Roll, Hercules, Velvet Pipe, Whacker, Weapon of Ass Destruction, Middle Leg, Milkman, Tonsil Tickler, Python, Poker, Muff Pole, Brutus, Organ, Salami, Tube Steak, Kong, Weenie, Wick, Probe, Chorizo, Mr. Big, of course, Clam Digger, Cyclops, One-Eyed Giant, Peepee, The One-Eyed Ranger, Governor, that was a very English one, I guess, Morning Muscle, Pistol, Peanut, Turkey Neck, again for the uncut crowd, Upright Citizen, I love that one, Love Meat, Love Muscle, Blood Slug, Blowtorch, Jizz Whiz, Nightcrawler, Nightstick, Old Faithful, Nimrod, Hip Snake, Uncle Dick, Uncle Remus, Uncle Richard, Uncle Spunk, Uncle Wiggly, The Nuke, Package, Nut Cannon, Homo Erectus, Excalibur, Fat Albert, Frankfurter, Louisville Plugger, Johnson, I love that one, Bob Dole, oy, 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 I love that one, Bob Johnson, Widget, Wiener, Muscle of Love, Lizard, Bobo, Digit, Kilbasa, Bone, Boner, Pickle, Lickin' Stick, Licorice Stick, Lil Buddy, Little Mister, dinghy, dinky, dipstick, fuck puppet, cigar, knob, hooded warrior, another uncut one, fire hose, skin flute, equipment, missile, hoagie, rocket, phallus, frankenbeans, prick, willy, wee willy, winky, wee willy winky, poon prod, poon pounder, poon wrecker, dirk, diggler, dagger, dong, fresh bone, or flesh bone, I'm sorry, cum cannon, bushwhacker, Buster McThunderstick, choo-choo, pole, chunk-o-love, dooley dandy, El Capitan, El Presidente, Hyman Hammer, Jackhammer, Javelin, Wilbur, Willard, Rodzilla, Rectum Rooter, Rump Ranger, Stick Shift, Lollipop, Magic Wand, Sword, Weasel, Woody, Wood, Zipper Ripper, Crankshaft, Creamsicle, Cream Stick, Cream Spritzer, and Yum Yum, which interestingly appears on both the male and female genital list. More penis euphemisms. Hung Wee Low, Crotch Cobra, Crotch Cowboy, Crotch Rocket, Ramrod, Dick Hard, Stubby, Swingin' Sirloin, Pud, Putz, Mandango, Root, Prong, Menstrual Minor, Ooh, Pride and Joy, Prince Charming, Pussy Duster, Cum Pump, Cupid's Arrow, Curious George, Custard Cannon, Hose, Sperm Spitter, Hot Beef Injection, Hot Dog, Hot Rod, Hot Tamale, Meat, Jimmy and the Twins, I love that one, Joystick, Meat Stick, Rumpled Foreskin, Schlong, Schnitzel, Julio, Junior, Man Meat, Man Muscle, Man Pole, Shaft, Skivvy Lizard, Power Tool, Slim Jim, Stiffy. You gotta love those. Okay, for the vagina. Hole, Hooch, Juice Box, Dank Diner, Oi, A Man's Ruin, Snatch, Koozie, Cunt, Cooch, Box, Dent, Fufu, Meat Curtains, The Abyss, Bearded Clam, Dick Dive, Dick Sharpener, Dick Shed, Fortune Nookie, Quim, Roast Beef Curtain, Bacon Strip, Cave, Cha-Cha, Flesh Curtains, Red Snapper, Rug, Gap, Raw Oyster, Yeast Cake, Rod Roaster, Wookie Hole, Axe Wound, Camel Toe, Mud Flaps, French Poodle, Harry Madlow, Harry Mary, Man's Ruin, Flower, Fluff, Blood Trap, Slime Slit, ooh, guys, Fandango, Chocha, Ditch, Dripping Slit, Love Tunnel, Money Box, Peach, Peach Fish, Peach Pit, Pecan Patty, Pelt, Quiff, Slobbering Bulldog, Hoo-ha, Finger Warmer, Fish Factory, Fish Hole, Fish Pie, Fish Taco, Flaming Lips, Gravy Boat, Lotus Flower, Oval Office, I like that one, Snitzel, Whisker Biscuit, Clam, Fun Tunnel, Fur Pie, Lower Lips, Nappy Canoe, Shrimp Boat, Wide Papaya Smile, bologna sandwich, bearded clam, catcher's mitt, bearded taco, bunny, dyke snack. I love that one. Slice, wooza, fertile delta, home plate, the promised land, bald man in a boat, boy in a boat, bulldog's lip, fuzzy taco, hatchet wound, oof, panocha, sperm bank, wet winkle, meat wallet, meatloaf, miffy, midge, bitch cake, nookie, poon, poontang, pootie tang, sloppy joe, tunnel of love, the, vag, yanni, yum yum, see, same as penis, hot box, knob gobbler, knots landing, treasure chest, organ grinder, pink taco, pinkly stinkly, fish, piss curtains, stench trench, oh guys, sweet spot, tuna tunnel, velvet box, breakfast of champions, spunk locker, cock cave, cock cozy, cock garage, cock holster, trout basket, tulip, tuna melt, glory hole, Nash, golden gully, gold mine, glory road, goo pot, gooey man trap, gouge, Kit Kat, muffin, muffler, muffy, munch box, boneyard, box lunch at the Y, clown pocket, fuck hole, gash, muff, hoo-ha, hoo-hoo, hooch, and hoochie, and the ever-popular vajayjay. You know, I'm often asked about my work as a sex therapist. I'm surprised at how few people have any clear sense of what a sex therapist does. While I can't really speak for all my fellow therapists, I can tell you a little bit about my own practice. Mostly the work I do is behavior modification in nature. Those of you who read around DrDickSexAdvice.com or regularly listen to my podcast will recognize this approach. I often suggest that people with sexual problems change their behaviors as a surefire way to address their problems. I'll explain a little bit more in a bit. I practice a kind of therapy that is short-term, goal-directed, personally liberating. I don't believe this kind of therapy should become a lifestyle. And I try to give my clients the tools they need to successfully work things out on their own. I encourage my clients to give themselves permission to investigate their sexuality. This, in turn, assists them in taking charge of making themselves feel better and perform better. And as soon as they do, they almost immediately have a greater sense of well-being. Like they say, nothing breeds success like success. Once we identify an area of concern, we create a plan of action which my client will implement. I believe the more an individual is part of his or her own healing process, the more productive that process is going to be. I generally contract with my clients for a particular number of sessions, rarely more than 6 or 8 weeks, sometimes as few as 2 or 4. This contract builds in an automatic termination point, which is very important to the kind of therapy I do. This keeps the end of the intervention always in sight. There is no chance for things just to go running on and on. This automatic termination point also allows for accountability. I expect my clients to be accountable to me, and I am accountable to them. If we don't achieve what we set out to do, I want to know why. This approach doesn't fit everyone, of course, but 99.9% of the people that I work with respond positively. One thing for sure, I don't in any way, shape, or form make my clients dependent on me. I think it's morally indefensible for a therapist to do that. Most of my clients see results almost immediately, especially if the presenting problem is related to sexual performance. For example, erection problems, pre-orgasmic issues, premature ejaculation, and stuff like that can be handled in a very short period of time. Like I said, the core of my therapy involves giving people permission to investigate their bodies, own their own personal eroticism, and move toward integrating their sexual expression into the rest of their lives. Despite the fact that the therapy I practice is personally liberating, I find that fewer and fewer people are willing to give their sexual issues the attention they deserve. Frequently, I encounter a "give me a pill for that" mentality. Rather than investing the time and energy to get to the bottom of their performance issues, some people would rather opt for the quick fix. Often, they're unwilling to make the necessary lifestyle changes to actually solve their problems. For example, I often see people who are eating themselves to death or seriously abusing drugs or alcohol. Of course, they have the accompanying sexual response issues, erection problems for men, arousal concerns for women, and the like, but they want to resolve these issues without committing to a change in behavior. Like, I want my erection back, but I don't want to quit crystal meth. That sort of thing. This kind of situation almost always ends in disappointment. Sexual dysfunction of one sort or another is the most frequent presenting issue I see, although the reason why a client will reach out to me for help varies considerably. Sometimes an individual's tolerance level for a problem finally peaks, and he or she decides to do something about an issue that may have been smoldering for years. Sometimes it's a person's partner who brings in the proverbial broken person, and I use that word in quotes, and tells me to fix him or her. I'm always really glad to encounter that, don't you know? Couples often seek sex therapy together. I suppose sexual concerns are more obvious when one is part of a couple. Oftentimes, by the time a couple comes for therapy, the sexual issues have plagued them for some time. The relationship is close to being over before they wake up and smell the coffee. For example, say a guy brings in his wife because she's no longer sexually responsive, whatever that might entail. They've been married for X amount of years, and he's finally had it. She, on the other hand, clams up because she is uncomfortable about talking about sex. She doesn't want to be in therapy because she doesn't really think there is anything wrong with her. She just doesn't want to have sex anymore. This is a very difficult way to start therapy. Resentments are high and frustrations rage. If the couple actually continues with me, we soon discover that there is also something desperately wrong with the husband. Inevitably, we discover that he's a crummy lover, and his inability to please his wife is the cause of her arousal dysfunction. It's often painfully clear that the guy knows little or nothing about a woman's anatomy or the female sexual response cycle. The wife, on the other hand, has never had permission to know her body, so she is unable to help her husband or direct him on how to properly pleasure her. As you can imagine, in a case like this, there's a load of remedial sex education that must come before anything else. Another example would be one person in a couple bringing in the other with the declaration that he or she has been cheated on. The one tells me in no uncertain terms that this therapy is the last-ditch effort before divorce or the dissolution of the relationship. Often, in cases like this, it's way too late for any real intervention to be successful. Because each is so angry and ashamed, the chance of us turning this around is very slim indeed. Sometimes the best we can do is end the marriage or relationship with as little acrimony as possible. In difficult couple counseling, my first effort is to get the couple to disarm. There will be no sex therapy, and God knows there is a need for sex therapy, till there is some semblance of peace in the marriage or relationship. If we don't establish at least a small bank of goodwill between them, our efforts are doomed. Of course, there's plenty of individuals and many couples who haven't waited till the last minute to seek help. These people want to be proactive about their concerns. Some people simply need some clear, unambiguous information about human sexuality. Again, those of you in my audience who are familiar with the kind of questions I'm frequently asked will know that a lot of people are really trying to piece together their sexual lives, but are hampered by misconceptions and misinformation. Sometimes a traumatic event will motivate a person to address arising sexual or intimacy issues. A disease process, a death, or an accident can fundamentally alter the power dynamic of a relationship, which will require a rethinking of the entire relationship. Perhaps someone comes to a new realization about him or herself. This will surely impact on the life of the individual, but if that person is in a relationship, the relationship is impacted too. Say a person discovers or is finally able to acknowledge his or her bisexuality, or that he is gay or she is lesbian. If one discovers or is finally able to acknowledge a fetish, he's a crossdresser or she's into another kink. Such concerns can precipitate a visit to my office. Most people in this sort of predicament aren't sure how to talk about this new discovery. And if they're in a relationship, they are often clueless on how to discuss this with their partner or significant other. Some couples don't fret when the sex goes out of their relationship. Other couples are devastated when the sexual connection evaporates. What does one do when one's partner still has sexual needs but the other no longer does? Oftentimes, there are unexplored options that will hold the relationship together but will address the disparity in sexual interest and desire. In cases like this, I can help a couple make compromises without losing their moral compass. Some couples navigate this with ease, others, not so much. There are ways to preserve what is sacred about a primary relationship while contemplating opening the relationship to possibly including others. I can help a couple establish guidelines and ground rules for making the necessary adjustments. Sometimes the relationship is really wonderful and fun. The couple really loves each other, but they've noticed their sexual lives together is getting really boring. I'm often approached to simply help a couple spice things up. In this instance, my work is sheer joy. Mostly, I just give the couple permission to experiment. You've probably noticed that a good portion of my work as a therapist is merely giving out permissions. That may sound odd at first, but when you consider that our sex-negative culture is so full of prohibitions, permission-giving is often the front line of sexual rehabilitation. Most permissions I give are for an individual to educate him or herself about her body and his or her sexual response cycle. And personal exploration, such as masturbation, is the very best means for that education. Happily, our need to reacquaint and re-educate ourselves about our body and our sexual response cycle is a lifelong process. There is always something new to explore. For example, as we age, our bodies change. And if we don't keep up with those changes, we can become frustrated and disoriented. Older people, menopausal women and andropausal men, take longer to build up a head of sexual steam, so to speak. If we're not aware of the changes in our body and our sexual response cycle, we could easily miss the important cues our body is sending us to slow down and enjoy the sensuality. Of course, I could go on, and maybe I'll pick up this thread again in the new year. Right now, I want to leave you with what I believe is the distillation of years of thought about the role sexuality plays in our life. I believe that sex is like food. We can enjoy it alone or with others. We can be abstemious or a glutton. We can nosh or nibble, dine or devour. And we can be certain there will be both times of feast and famine. Sex is like food. It can nourish and sustain us, or it can make us sick. We can consume all of the available bounty or restrict our diet. It can be both bacchanal and sacrament. It can completely satisfy or leave us devastatingly empty. Sex is like food. We can utilize it to express our highest aspirations or allow it to rob us of our soul. We can give it as a gift or use it as a weapon. It can fill our senses or simply be an exercise of the mind. One thing for sure, whether it's purely physical or transcendentally spiritual, no one can live without food or sex. That's it for today, sex fans. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, I'll be taking a couple of weeks off from podcasting. Tune in next on January 7th, 2008 for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is EdenFantasies.com. Listen up, you guys. At EdenFantasies.com, you have the unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about all the swell adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in toys that they offer, but they are even more focused on customer service and customer education. Their site has developed an online community of product reviewers, editorial staff, fantasy contributors, and renowned sexperts, including yours truly, Dr. Dick. In fact, I'm happy to announce that the first four chapters of my handy-dandy guide to penis pumps for men, and those who put up with us, is now available on EdenFantasy.com. Check it out. Look for the Guides and Tips page, click on Guides, and you'll find me there along with a load of other insightful contributors who provide a wealth of information about topics ranging from BDSM to the G-spot. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my weekly sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and the end of each show, just like I did there. Each podcast has its own posting on my site along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part about this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For more information, contact me at drdick@drdicksexadvice.com. That's drdick@drdicksexadvice.com. And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under health, subcategory sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's sex advice and don't forget to subscribe. So until next time, remember, sex is good and good sex is even better. Over and out.